The birth of John the Baptist is a pretty unlikely gospel story. For in the story that we have just heard, can I have the first picture, please? Zechariah and Elizabeth are well past childbearing ages. Kind of a elderly couple there in that picture as they're depicted. They're no spring chickens. But by a miracle, by God's grace, he gives them this child. And at the moment that John is presented in the temple and they ask, what name do you give this child? They say, we're going to call him John. And the people there are astonished. They're like, nobody in your family has this name. Why do you call him John? And so his dad, Zechariah, writes on the tablet, John is his name. And at that moment, his mouth is free. He who once was unable to speak is then able to speak. St. Augustine says that the reason that Zechariah is then able to speak, his tongue is set free because the voice has been born. John the Baptist's role is to proclaim the message that Christ is the Savior. He is the one who comes to say, there is one greater than I who is coming. And so at the announcement of John and that being his name, his dad is able to speak again because it shows that that voice is being born. John the Baptist is an important figure in Christianity because he sets the stage for Jesus. He says, this is my cousin, the one who is coming, who is going to bring peace and salvation to the world. Also in our culture, John the Baptist has a couple of significant points. Have the next one, please. This past week, we just celebrated the summer solstice, which is the longest day of the year. A couple of days after the longest day of the year, we celebrate the birth of John the Baptist, which is a reference to the gospel passage in John's gospel where St. John the Baptist says, I must decrease, he must increase. The summer solstice is a reminder that every day from here on decreases so that the light of the world may increase. And so shortly after the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, we celebrate the birth of Jesus when the light of the world comes into the world and every day from then on gets longer. So we celebrate this as a great feast just for our culture that now from now until Christmas, every day will get shorter. And it's a reminder that John the Baptist tells us that we are to decrease so that Christ may increase in our lives. Another pretty cool thing I learned from Father Chester this week was that John the Baptist had something, can I have the next slide, please? John the Baptist had something to do with the musical scale, the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. And we might say, well, I know where that came from. That came from, next one, please, The Sound of Music in Julie Andrews when she sang that song, do, a deer, a female deer. But that's not where that song came from. Even though Rodgers and Hammerstein were pretty creative, they weren't as creative as Guido of Arezzo, who wrote this hymn, which is a hymn to John the Baptist. And the do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, the musical scale that we use came from this hymn. For every single syllable that starts those phrases, it's a note higher. That first one starts with the oot, and then that note is on that C. And then every syllable after that, the re, is on the next note on the D, and the mi is above that, and the fa is after that, and the sol is above that, and the la is after that. And so this was a familiar hymn to people who would sing a song to John the Baptist. And the translation of this hymn is so that your servants may, with loosened voices, resound the wonders of your deeds. Clean the guilt from our stained lips, O St. John. So this hymn was pretty instrumental to our pop culture and being able to learn the musical scale. And I guess we have John the Baptist to thank for that. The one difference in this song and the musical scale is that first note. I guess instead of singing oot, Giovanni Doni, who put this musical scale to our conscience, he changed that first syllable from oot to do, which maybe because his last name started with that syllable. But either way, John the Baptist is an instrumental figure in our culture. But we learn a lot. Can I have the next one, please? We learn a lot from St. John the Baptist. We learn a lot from his life. We learn a lot from the way that he lived his life. Even though he had a face that was made for radio, John the Baptist embraced the wonderful love that God had for him. And I'm sure that he proclaimed that psalm that we just sang here today at Mass. That's Psalm 139. I praise you, Lord, for I am wonderfully made. For somebody who ate locust and honey, he looked pretty good. But he knew that his job was not to be a poster child for salvation. His job was to be the voice. His job was to be the messenger, to say Christ is coming after, and Christ's love will change our hearts. John the Baptist knew exactly what his role was, and he lived it so well. When people came to him to be baptized, he warned them that, look, I'm baptizing you with water, but there's one far greater than me who is coming that will baptize you with the Spirit. And I am not worthy to untie his sandals, for he is so much greater than me. So John the Baptist's humility shines in our lives. It shines in our hearts. And so we ask John the Baptist to continue to be a sign of humility so that we may follow his example, so that we may decrease and Christ may increase in our lives. As we celebrate the feast of the birthday of John the Baptist today, we ask him to help us be comfortable with who we are. We ask him to help us to love our Lord, to be happy with our role in life, to be happy with the way that we're called, because John the Baptist in his life certainly was happy. He embraced that call. He embraced that love of the Lord. As we continue today to celebrate the Eucharist and to allow the Lord's love to fill our hearts, we ask him to help us to follow the example of John the Baptist, to be people of humility, to be people of faith, and to be people of love.